Can $850,000 last with a $3,600 per month withdrawal? Let's explore Rick and Laura's case right now on Rise in Retirement. Welcome back to Rise in Retirement. Taco here with you. I'm Jet, and we are looking at Rick and Laura, a couple whose retirement savings looked pretty solid at first glance. They got $850,000 saved. And they're starting to do some math on their own, and they're wondering, is this going to be enough? They realize they have to take a withdrawal every single month to supplement their income using that $850,000. So we want to take a closer look with you here today. And Taco, why don't we go ahead and detail the case here for you?
The math is key here.
Is the math mathing today?
So Rick, 65, Laura, 62. They're married. They do have $850,000 broken down. $600,000 of that in IRAs, $150,000 in post-tax brokerage account, and they have $100,000 in tax-free Roth IRA. So, good to see, you know, a little bit of a diversified,
good balance
of money. Their monthly income goal is $7,200. Okay, so that's what they need, $7,200 per month to live off of, to do all the things that they want to do. Income sources are going to be $3,000 net from Social Security. That's what will be hitting the bank account from them. And they do have a small pension of about $600 per month coming in as well. So we have a monthly shortfall of $3,600 per month. Annual, you know, portfolio draw is $43,200 of net dollars that they need to take. So Jet, when they come to us with that math, it's, hey, we need $43,200. We have $850. That's a 5.1% withdrawal rate. What are you seeing here?
Well, I'm just imagining that Rick and Laura are viewers of this show, and they watch us week in and week out do case examples where we reference withdrawal rates and how important they are to understand and how that kind of leads to red or yellow or green light analysis. And the biggest mistake we see people make is you know your case, your numbers, you can go through the same thing we just did. You can come up with your withdrawal rate and you can determine whether you think it's a sustainable withdrawal rate. The mistake that happens is you just told us that they have to pull out $3,600 a month.
Correct.
But we haven't defined which accounts they're going to pull that money from.
Yep.
What we do know is that $600,000 of the $850,000 that they have, they're going to owe income tax when they take that distribution. So they've calculated a net withdrawal rate when they need to be factoring in the taxes and look at it from a gross standpoint. So it's gross versus net is the number one thing that we have to get straight here.
Yeah. And so what that can lead to is, hey, the initial thought of 5.1%, you know, withdrawal rate is all on net numbers. It's not catastrophic, right? It's actually pretty sustainable. You know, I would not be concerned for Rick and Laura here. However, because the majority, 600 out of the 850, is pre-tax money, they actually need more like $4,500 a month from their investments, you know, ballpark, instead of that $3,600 to account for the tax liability that's got to come out on those IRAs. So if we take that number, $4,500 a month instead of $3,600, Jet and I were talking 6.4% withdrawal rate. The reality is because there is some tax-free money, let's meet in the middle somewhere. It's probably pushing right around a 6% withdrawal rate at the end of the day.
Well, and that brings to mind a second problem is that, and maybe they've had minor conversations. Maybe they haven't thought about it at all. I mean, in this case example, it's clear that they haven't thought about it because the withdrawal need that they calculated was a net number and they didn't think about taxes. But the reality is the withdrawal rate's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. And the way that I think they need to lead into solving this problem, it's a tax strategy conversation.
Yeah.
If you run the math on the amount of income that they're going to have coming in, they're borderline top of the 22% federal bracket. If they're married, filing joint, maybe they're creeping into the 24% bracket. Rick's 65, so he's probably on Medicare. And income does affect Medicare premium at certain levels. It's called IRMA. So there's a lot of little things that I think need to be discussed along with the planning on how they're going to get this $3,600 net of taxes monthly need.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we see this all the time. So, hey, if you're retiring soon or you have a plan that you're wondering, can my savings last? Will it all be there for me? Or you just want to test your plan a little bit, get a stress test on whether you're thinking about your budget the right way and your income plan, head over to RisenRetirement.com. You can request a 30-minute call. It's free for you to just start talking through your situation, maybe understanding your budget a little better, just your overall comprehensive plan needs at that time. So, Chet, red light, yellow light, green light, where are you at?
Oh, man. I'm going to go yellow light with this case. Although I think it's easy to get this to a green light. I think we have to understand what are the legacy goals and desires. We talk about that a lot. Is there a big plan for Rick and Laura that they want to leave a bunch of money behind to their kids and their grandkids? Or are they okay with spending this money down a little bit? Anytime, if you're watching, you're okay with spending the portfolio down a little bit, you're not worried what's left at the end of the rainbow, then your withdrawal rate naturally can be a little higher. You know, green light withdrawal zone for someone who's wanting that last check to bounce before they die is a lot higher than what it would be if the alternative was true. So I'm going yellow light. And ultimately, I think they have to figure out, and something that we could help them do is, what sequence of buckets are they taking this distribution from? Is it all coming from IRA?
Yeah.
Are they choosing to spend the IRA bucket down first, allowing the after-tax brokerage and the Roth IRA to build, not just for them, but for their beneficiaries?
Which will then in turn lower their withdrawal rate later in life. Yep. Because it'll all be tax-free money. Yeah. Coming out. Yeah.
That's one way. The other way is, do you do a combination approach? Do you take a portion of what you need from IRA money while considering how much room you have in the bracket that you're currently in without going into the next bracket? Because every dollar you take out of an IRA is going to show up as income on your return.
Yeah.
And then do you get just enough to get to the top of the bracket that you're in and then take the remainder that you need from the brokerage or from the Roth IRA or combination? So that what they don't have that they need that could turn this from yellow to green for me is a systematized, well thought out, laddered, bucketed strategy that says, I'm pulling from this account for this much, then this account for this much over time.
Yeah.
And I think as you would agree, that then lends itself to, now that we have that figured out, what investments do we actually use?
Yeah.
If that first bucket is an IRA and we're going to spend that first, how should we invest the money in that bucket?
Yep.
Should it be stock? Should it be bonds? Should it be annuities, CDs? And so they just don't have structure.
Yeah. Hey, here's another possible strategy that a lot of times financial advisors kind of give blanket advice on. This is, they've kind of came in, made their mind up, hey, this is when we're going to take Social Security, and it's $3,000 a month. What if they spent down more IRA money early on in their plan, let Social Security keep growing? Mm-hmm. Because we do get that, you know, kind of get some guaranteed growth in Social Security, hopefully, if you will, which will help out long-term from a cash flow standpoint. Not saying that's the right answer to do, but it's something that they should look at, and they should work with somebody to make sure that they have the right Social Security strategy in place as well.
I totally agree. I mean, at the end of the day, there are some things that they can do. I mean, we haven't talked about Roth conversion planning. That could potentially make some sense for them based on where they are and how the numbers play out. So what I would tell them to do, the best strategy, is to find a financial planner, someone that can actually lay this out for them step by step in a method that they would understand, that could put them over the top as far as exactly how to invest each dollar, where they're pulling it out from, how it will affect them with taxes, how it affects the inheritance and the tax that's left behind.
Yeah.
If that's important to them.
Yeah.
You know, we had a viewer question recently, and the question was, what's the safe withdrawal rate today?
Hmm.
Is it still 4%? You've heard that, the safe withdrawal rate, Wall Street's rule of 4%. And the answer, as we've just detailed here, is it really just truly depends.
Yeah. Big time. I mean, it's how you're allocated. It's your portfolio risk. It's inflation. It's timing. It's there's so many different things. It's your age, it's your health. All these things have to come into play. But at the end of the day, you need a strategy behind it, and you need to understand and stay disciplined to that strategy for it to work. So
if you're staring down an income gap, if you've run the numbers yourself, you kind of understand where you are, where you're at, just like Rick and Laura do. Don't wait for the numbers to get worse. Don't wait for the market to change. Get a handle on this now. Go to risingretirement.com, schedule a complimentary phone appointment. 30 minutes could change the next 30 years of your life. Get on the schedule with one of the advisors on our team, and we would be happy to chat through your scenario with you.